The Green Party has unveiled its plans for a fossil fuel-free New Zealand with a promise to end industrial coal use by 2030. Their clean energy plan also proposes installing solar panels on all state houses across the country. James Shaw is the co-leader of the Green Party and he joins us in the studio now. Good morning.
Good morning.
How easy would it be to put solar panels on all state houses?
Well, technically it's very easy. The reason
cost
that
a bit though.
Well, yes, over the course of 10 years, we estimate that the total price would be about $1.3 billion, although not all 63,000 houses are actually suitable for solar. So, it would be a bit less than that. But if you consider that against the price of some of the other infrastructure that we're building versus the benefits that it would accrue both for the country and for the households involved, which would save about $1,000 a year each on average, it's pretty significant.
We know our housing stock is not in great shape. Do these houses actually need to be insulated, to be double glazed?
They absolutely do.
You know, to be warmer and drier before we worry about putting solar panels on the roof?
Well, you can walk and chew gum at the same time, as I always say. I think that, we've done a pretty good job of rolling out over the last 10 years several hundred thousand houses worth of home insulation. We are now currently expanding that to include other weather tightness and measures to make sure that they're warm and dry. But it doesn't mean that you can't also put solar panels on the roof and batteries in the garage.
Despite that rollout, though, we know there are a lot of homes that are substandard. And, you know, I take your point, we can do more than one thing at a time, but it's all money. So you're requiring more money to get extra stuff done when we haven't even done the basics.
Well, yes, we are saying that we intend to spend more money on this, but if you consider that we've got about $15 billion sitting in the COVID response and recovery fund, what we're talking about here is using about 9% of that for a national infrastructure project that will lower the price of electricity to the poorest families in New Zealand. And it will ensure that we're able to take some of those gas peaking plants offline and help to reduce our greenhouse gas emissions at the same time. Plus, it makes sure that we actually start to employ thousands of New Zealanders, because installing solar and batteries is actually quite a job-rich environment. So you create a multiple win where you're tackling climate change, you're creating jobs, you're lowering household electricity bills for the lowest income New Zealanders. I think that that is an incredibly good use of that money as compared to, say, a road, which would also cost about $1.5 billion, but actually employ far fewer people and contribute to climate change at the same time. So it's a very good use of the money.
You also plan to finance private homes, putting it on as well, 50%. So on top of the cost for the state houses, what do you estimate it will cost to also put that money towards supporting people to put it on their own homes?
So what we're doing there with the grant scheme is cutting in half the installation cost of solar plus batteries. That brings it down to about $7,000 a household. And the reason why we think that we have to do that is because the rate of take-up of solar in New Zealand is very low. If you look at some of our comparison countries, they have used grants and low-interest loans as the kind of key way of helping to drive take-up of solar. So we think that we can probably... So New Zealand installed about 5,000 houses last year. We think that if you start there, the grant scheme could get to a take-up point where you're doubling it and then doubling it again within about 3 years. I mean, there are constraints, which is why also we've got an industry training plan to help get people into those careers.
And the cost of that private support?
Well, in the first year, it's about $45 million. That would expand up to... So if you assume that it doubles, then it's about $90 million in the second year and then about $180 million in the third year.
And that money, is that again COVID money?
Yes, that would also come out of the COVID response and recovery fund. I mean, what we've costed this as in total, the whole package, and that includes tripling the grants for industry players to get out of coal and gas and to switch over to cleaner alternatives. The total cost of our plan is about $1.3 billion over 3 years. If you consider that the COVID response and recovery fund, we've allocated, there's about $15 billion there that we've said is unallocated, that we want to use for economic stimulus. This is an excellent use of economic stimulus money to create essentially a national infrastructure project to get to 100% renewable clean energy.
We're all being urged to buy local, but solar panels can't be bought locally, can they? They're imported.
They are imported, yes.
Is that a problem?
No, I don't think it's a problem because the jobs are installation jobs, and running the companies that actually, you know, work and service those virtual power plants. If we had this kind of project, though, you might see that investors were interested in starting manufacturing here in New Zealand as well. We've got, for example, some really high quality silica deposits in the South Island, in Southland, actually, which is obviously located near quite a lot of cheap electricity. And so if you said, okay, over the course of the next 10 years, we're going to spend, you know, $1 billion, $100 million a year on average on installing solar around the country, whether that's on state homes or on private homes, or at utility scale, then you might see that private industry would respond by investing in manufacturing here in New Zealand as well.
With the closure of Tiwai Point in the near future, we're going to have a whole lot more power anyway, and that's cleanly generated down there. You know, isn't that going to be used in the North Island, in homes, state homes, private homes?
In the short term, no. And of course, the thing about
money towards making that happen as well.
Oh, we are. Well, actually, Transpower has already said, they've actually already committed that they're going to be upgrading the connection between the North and the South Island to ensure that some of that electricity can make its way north. However, even after Tiwai comes offline, if you actually want to fully decarbonise the economy, as the population expands, as industry decarbonises, as people switch to electric vehicles, we actually need 56% more electricity again than we currently generate today. And that's got to come from somewhere. Because whilst the Tiwai closure will mean that there's a bit of additional electricity for the next sort of 4 or 5 years, actually demand will exceed that substantially over the coming decade or two.
And coal as well. You want to end coal 5 years earlier than the plans that are currently signed up to at the moment. You know, how will you do that? Can industry actually cope without coal to drive those boilers where they need the high heat?
Absolutely, it can. Absolutely, it can. So, there are some industrial processes, for example, steel production, where today it's not feasible to use anything other than coke and coal. But you are seeing new hydrogen-based technologies, both for steel manufacturing and for aluminium production, that are coming online overseas. I would anticipate that within a decade to 15 years, that we'll be able to import that technology here as well. In the meantime, we use a lot of coal and gas for very low-grade heat. So, for example, drying milk and turning it into milk powder. It's entirely feasible to use either electricity or biomass for that.
Thank you very much for your time. That's James Shaw, the co-leader of the Green Party.